Let's check now what happened in the futures markets for this Friday afternoon, the 12th day of September. On the phone line is Mike Zuzalom. He's at Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael. Hey, I want to know from you, Michael, just exactly what it is that you think the corn market might look like at this point. Soybeans, too, and in particular, whether or not you have happened to have had any harvest happening in your area, if you can give us an update, I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, very little harvest being done right now here, Todd. We've just been wet enough, not too wet like some areas of Illinois and Indiana, but just wet enough to keep people out. I think they want to cut beans around here a lot harder than corn. Moisture levels in corn seem to be pretty high, and we've got the premium out here in the spot bean delivery, much like you do back there. But right now, we're not seeing a lot of cutting of beans. And in fact, this week's Atchison Globe on the front page was a headline story about the sudden death. We are one of the worst counties in the state for sudden death. So that's kind of influencing me a little bit looking out the back door. I'm going to drive north this weekend on Sunday and take a little mini crop tour and see how things are going up towards the Nebraska border and see if they're getting anything done up there. But here again, as you go north, those rain totals seem to have increased. And talked to KRVN, our friends up there in Lexington, today, and they actually talked about another 6/10 of an inch in the last 24 hours. So it doesn't seem like lots being combined, and certainly where they want to cut beans, not much going on.
SDS is a problem across parts of the Midwest. In fact, farmers more concerned about it, I believe, than the trade is at this point.
Agreed.
How long has the SDS, how long have you been hearing about it? Has it been more than a week or two?
Oh, yeah. I would say it started out here about a month ago, exactly a month ago.
In that case, then it will be a problem in the field if it's it shows up at state fair time, then it is likely to be a problem. If you happen to make note of it later than that, and this is, roughly speaking, this would be in my part of the world, Illinois, Indiana, and the central part of the state, then if it showed up in maybe that first week of September and last 7 days, it's less likely to be a problem. But it is something I think the trade will have to come to issue with at some point.
At some point, and I think this is where, you know, as a week in review type segue to what you and I were just talking about. I think you nailed it when it came to the impending harvest that we're going to see if the rain models don't change here in the next 6 to 7 days. So you look at impending harvest, you look at the supply build that we saw in the USDA report, and you know the most likely scenario continues for me to be an idea of a price change trend or a change in the price trend would be coming from outside examples or outside forces, a macroeconomic inflationary mindset that develops where the commodities are an asset that are allocated and bought into, or a geopolitical factor. It's not going to be at this time, because of the report especially, as we get into harvest, it's not likely going to be anything on a micro level, and I say that with the caveat of this weekend's frost potential first and foremost in my mind.
Just a couple of review numbers, of course. USDA yesterday morning releasing the latest crop production numbers and the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. It's the last set of numbers, what's left in the bin, that really makes the difference. And for soybeans, it went from 430 million bushels, and it built to 475. And for corn, it went from 1.8 billion, roughly, and it built to 2 billion bushels. So those are the numbers you have to deal with. I suppose they were more bearish than you wanted to look at.
The corn number came in right with my estimate, so I was okay with the corn number, and I was very pleased that the world supply did not grow that much. The stocks to use ratio on the coarse grains actually only went up 0.1%, and that's because the U.S. production increase was offset by a great portion by China, Ukraine, and the former Soviet Union. And it was nice to see, this is where the wheat and the corn separate themselves and makes wheat the price leader to the downside still in the medium term, if you're talking about trends, in my view, Todd. And it goes back to the demand side of the equation. USDA lowered exports in wheat, raised imports in wheat. We got much better demand figures on the corn, so lower prices in corn is encouraging increased demand. We can't say that for the wheat. You can take issue with what USDA said as far as why the wheat demand's going down, and it's because of Canada. And I could take issue with that, but right now, as it sits, the corn report was much more friendly than the wheat, and it was even more friendly than the beans, because not only did we get the bean increase domestically here, we also got a big jump in the Brazilian crop forecast and the Argentine forecast, with traders already talking about, and even Safra's Mercado coming out today with, another 2 million tons bigger crop for Brazil than what USDA just gave us yesterday. So these are some of the global factors continue to be the major drivers, in my opinion, to why the funds on a microeconomic level won't buy into this market.
If I remember correctly, the stocks-to-use ratio for corn on the supply, U.S. supply-demand numbers, is about 15%. Is that right,
yes,
I think?
Yes, that's exactly right. We have doubled it since the 2012 drought. That's right.
Yeah, and then for the global number, do you know what that ratio is like at this point?
Yeah, like I said, on the coarse grains and the corn, it's going to be about the same. We ended up being up about a tenth of a percent. For coarse grains, it was 17.8 versus 17.7 last month.
And more importantly, historically, what's a good stocks-to-use ratio on the global front? I know on
14. Yeah, you know, 14 to 15 would get the market's attention for weather problems or anything like that.
Okay, so we have a ways to go. So we still have a supply that is more than adequate on both fronts, nationally and globally. I suspect, have been talking to farmers on the cash side of this market because now they're thinking about cash. I'm going to be on the combine. What do I do with this? Do I store it? Do I store it at home? Do I store it commercially? And can you take both of those up? Because I suspect there might be a different answer commercially than home storage.
I think there is going to be, especially if you're talking about storing it commercially for only a short period of time. That actually may work the worst against you if these rail issues continue to develop and they don't improve much. And so not only would you see the basis continue to fall and no recovery in the futures, you'd also be tacking onto that some commercial storage. And I think if you have any kind of drying charges, that would really, really hurt your bottom line and your revenue per acre at these price levels. So commercial storage short term is really the toughest thing to have to deal with. There's really no answer to that question. As far as on-farm storage, the structure of the market, and we hit this on the beans a minute ago, Todd, I think the structure of the market continues to scream out at you, essentially, let those beans go, especially if you can get an early premium. Make as much room for on-farm storage in corn as you can. That has not changed. That probably won't change because of the nature of the basis and also the nature of the carrying charge in the futures market. And I think as a forward-looking market, you are already starting to see some pretty dramatic shifts in acreage, starting to be talked about in Argentina, much lower in corn, much higher in beans, especially in Brazil. So South America is starting to promote an idea that the feed grains may gain in terms of price on lower acreage as we move forward. And so I think this is where the corn storage makes even more sense. As far as off the combine bushels, get whatever you have to sell sold so that you're not under that commercial storage issue. And at that point, then stop. But I would try, and I'm recommending pretty strongly, to really work hard at letting as many beans go as possible to make as much room for corn as possible.
Okay, so end users are then faced with a different problem because they need to pry this out of the... I'm assuming at these levels, you want the end users to try to pry this out of the farmer's hands, right?
In the case of corn, that's right. In the case of beans, they'll get it from the farmer because
correct.
Of these 350 and 375 over basis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're telling livestock producers buy and put it away if they can?
Can't do that quite yet. As far as actually what they farm, if they're farming the corn and feeding the same corn that they shell, yes. But if you're talking about if you need to buy corn, I've been getting some bids from elevators through clients, and they're not that great. I mean, spot corn, as far as spot off the march right
weeks,
now.
We need another 2 weeks, don't we?
I'm sorry?
We need another 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is where I would probably wait and see if that basis wouldn't erode a little bit more as a buyer if you had to buy commercially. Now, like if you're inferring that you're shelling corn and you're saving it for livestock feed, oh, yes, put that away.
No, I was not. I was thinking about making purchases for larger end users.
So. Yeah, the commercial, I would not go after the commercial at this point because I'm just not hearing the basis levels I think are attractive yet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
You betcha, sir.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting.